Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 17th, 2009. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. In this episode, we'll be discussing a paper published in the February 10th issue of Science Signaling. The work we'll be talking about was performed in the laboratory of Tomoshige Kino at the National Institutes of Health. I spoke with Dr. Kino about the research. Hello, Dr. Kino.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. So the paper you've just published with Science Signaling is about how cells sense osmolarity. What is osmolarity and why is it important for cell biology?
Osmolarity inside the human body is defined as the concentration of any solubilized molecule in the cytoplasm and extracellular fluid, such as the molecules as the salt, chemical compounds, amino acids, and macromolecules, including peptides and nucleic acids. Therefore, the hyperosmolarity in the extracellular fluid can extract water from the cells, leading to cellular dehydration. So the dehydration causes condensation of the cellular molecules in the cytoplasm, and also it produces a cellular shrinkage and develop distortion of cellular architectures. With these effects, the hyperosmolarity outside of the cells causes global dysfunction in numerous cell activities like transcription and translation of the genes, transport of molecules and vesicles inside the cells, and the cellular signaling system.
How do cells sense osmolarity? Do they use a sensor that detects salt concentration, or do the cells detect the mechanical forces that the water pressure puts on the cells? How do cells detect osmotic stress?
Actually, exact receptor for sensing osmolarity in mammalian cells has not been determined as yet. But yeast has such receptors expressed on the cell surface called SIN1 and SHO1. These receptors are not chemoreceptors, but might detect the changes in the physicochemical properties of the solvent. Therefore, these receptors may be categorized as mechanoreceptors. However, detailed modes of their actions are not known as yet and are thus under intensive research at this moment.
So do you know how mammalian cells are sensing osmolarity?
Mammalian cells could use the similar cell surface receptor that yeast express, but another way of hypothesis that mammalian cells detect the hyperosmolarity through distortion of the cytoskeleton caused by the shrinkage of the cells. So in this case, cell sense alteration in the cytoskeleton and transduce such signal to initiate adaptive response to osmotic stress in order to increase intracellular osmolarity. This adaptive response is supported by increasing small organic osmolites inside the cells, such as sorbitol, myo-inositol, glycine, and betaine, by stimulating expression of several hyperosmolarity responsive genes, including aldose reductase, sodium myo-inositol cotransporter, and taurine transporter through activation and expression of transcription factor, the nuclear factor of activated T cells, or NF85.
So NF85 or NFAT5 is a transcription factor then that turns on expression of these genes that are required to help the cell deal with change in osmolarity?
Yes, correct.
The response to hypoosmolarity mediated by NFAT5 is the subject of your paper that was just published in Science Signaling. And you study the function of a protein called BRX in that response.
Yes.
What is BRX and how is it playing a role?
BRX is one of the guanine nucleotide exchange factor, which has the GEF domain composed of DH homology domain and the PHA domain. And this GEF family, which is a very big family consisting of over 100 members, act as a stimulator of the small G proteins. For BRX case, it acts as one of the small G protein family, low-type small G proteins.
So BRX then is a GEF.
Yes.
And its function is then to promote signaling through Rho kinases?
Yes, correct. The interesting part of these molecules is that in addition to having the GEF domain, these molecules have a kinase anchoring domain in the N-terminal part, also in the C-terminal part, they contain the nuclear receptor interacting domain. So from such a complex structure, we think that these molecules function as an integrator of different signaling pathways. and then may mediate the signaling from one pathway to the other pathway.
So BRX is an adapter protein?
Yes, associated with the cytoskeleton and probably mediate signaling caused by the distortion of the cytoskeleton into the activation of the small G proteins.
So these molecules then are theoretically in the right place
yes.
to conduct a signal from the cytoskeleton.
Yes.
So the first thing you did to address the role of BRX in regulating the osmotic response was to make mice that lack BRX. What did you find when you made those mutant mice?
So we found several phenotypes, and one of such phenotypes is that they have the smaller spleens, and the splenic histology is a little bit different from the wild-type mice. Actually, smaller follicles with less cortical area of the follicular structures.
So the BRX mutant mice then had smaller spleens.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean in terms of the animal's physiology? What does that do to the animal?
The spleen is important for recognizing the antigens, and also it contains a lot of B cells, and it's for producing the immunoglobulin. We thought that BRX haploinsufficient mice might have some immunodeficient conditions.
You were looking at these phenotypes then in heterozygous mice?
Yes.
So a gene that, when it shows a phenotype, when it's knocked out in a single copy, is referred to as haploinsufficient.
Yes.
Because one copy of the gene is not sufficient to support normal function, correct?
Yes, correct. Actually, we wanted to use the mice with the both array of knockout, but that mice dies in utero due to the defect of the heart, so that we couldn't use that mice for the analysis after birth.
Did you try conditional knockouts or tissue-specific
knockouts?
We
are trying to do that now.
Did you have any idea that BRX would be haploinsufficient when you started this? Was there any reason to believe that it was going to be very dosage sensitive?
Maybe, probably, because one gene knockout can produce up to 70% reduction of the BRX gene expression. So we expect that both arrays are necessary to express sufficient amount of the NF85.
So you made the BRX mutant mice, and then did you look at how cells from these mutant mice responded to osmotic stress?
Yes. And the lymphocyte purified from a spleen of BRX haploinsufficient mice express less NF85 and downstream hyperosmolarity responsive genes. In addition to these genes necessary for adaptive response to osmotic stress, we found that expression of several cytokines such as tumor necrosis factor alpha and B cell activating factor, or BAF, was also reduced in lymphocytes.
So lymphocytes from the spleens of these mutant animals then had less expression of NFAT5, that transcription factor that mediates the osmotic response.
Yes.
And then they also express lower levels of other markers of response to osmotic stress?
Yes. Actually, NF85 downstream of osmotic responsive genes are like aldose reductase, taurine transporter, and other molecules, but we screened these molecules and found that many of the NF85 hyperosmolarity responsive genes are downregulated in BRX haploinsufficient mice.
It appears then that BRX is required to transduce the hyperosmolarity signal to NFAT5.
Yes.
Do you know how it's transducing that signal?
BRX activates small G proteins, subtypes CDC42 and LAC1, and then after the sensing the cytoskeleton change. And these small G proteins act to the P38 MAP kinase, which is probably close associated with BRX through the scaffold molecules called JIP4. Junk interacting protein 4.
So BRX interacts directly with JIP4 then?
Yes.
Is there any evidence that the complex is preformed?
The formation of the BRX and JIP4 interaction is dependent on the osmotic stimulation. So once osmotic stimulation happens, probably the cytoskeleton changes, BRX activates, and then attracts the JIP4.
And the function of JIP4 then is to activate signaling through the P38 MAP kinase?
Yes. It's like act as a scaffold. That means scaffold means mediate interaction of one molecule to the other molecules. In this case, BRX and the P38 MAP kinase.
BRX somehow then activates signaling through P38 MAP kinase. How does it do that?
For the detail of the how it activates, we don't know. But probably the attraction of the activated small G protein at local activation of the small G protein at BRX and close association of the P38 MAP kinase and JIP4 to activate small G protein on BRX is probably necessary for proper activation of the P38 MAP kinase cascade to NF85 expression.
So BRX is required to activate signaling through the P38 MAP kinase cascade, which ultimately results in the transcription of NFAT5 in response to hyperosmolarity.
Yes.
So you found in the BRX mutant cells that they had a defective NFAT5-mediated response to
yes.
osmotic stress. But you also said that these BRX mutant cells also had a different cytokine expression pattern?
Yes. So the cytokine regulated by the osmotic stress is TNF-alpha type cytokines, like TNF-alpha itself, and also the B-cell activating factors, BAF.
So these are factors that cells in the spleen express when they're experiencing osmotic stress?
Yes. But such markers, in our case, we also find that BRX haploinsufficient mice has reduced immunoglobulin production against antigen overarm injection. So since BAF is important for stimulating or mediating the terminal B-cell differentiation, so B-cell is a source of the plasma cells, which produce the immunoglobulin in response to the antigen stimulation. So the reduction of BAF expression in the BRX haploinsufficient mice causes adaptive immune response, which is consistent by the antigen production.
So BRX mutant mice then have a defective immune response?
Yes.
Before you started these experiments, did you have any idea that a defective osmotic response would have an effect specifically on the immune system?
We didn't expect, but we know that looking at the animals, once animals become older, they tend to have the higher incidence of the infection. So we thought that there's some the immunodeficient in the BRX haploinsufficient mice. But we didn't know the link between the osmotic stress and immune defect. But we now know that BRX mediates such activity. In addition to the spleen and the thymus features hyperosmolarity condition inside the tissue, the inflammation itself may have the hyperosmolarity conditions because the damage of the tissues produce a lot of the different molecules, and then that molecules can increase the osmolarity in the extracellular space.
All these phenotypes that you're describing are from BRX heterozygotes. That is, they have one functional copy. They're only missing one copy of the gene.
Yes.
And you're looking at these phenotypes in immune cells from the spleen.
Yes.
Can you suppose why the cells in the spleen are more sensitive to the dosage of BRX than cells in other parts of the body, for example? I mean, why did you see these effects only in the spleen or cells derived from the spleen as opposed to, say, the heart or something else?
One of the reasons why we found some phenotypes in the spleen is that the spleen in itself has hyperosmolar condition in a physiological situation. But the other tissues, like muscle and like a fat, anything, probably has an isotonic condition. So in that condition, we cannot see any defect caused by the BRX through NF85 in these tissues. But since spleen has hyperosmolar condition, we could see the BRX-mediated defect in immune function.
The cellular response to osmotic stress is then important for normal cell physiology, and it's important for immune cell function. In what other facets of human physiology is osmotic stress sensing particularly important?
We know that several disorders are associated with extracellular hyperosmolarity. These conditions include the diabetes mellitus, uremia, dehydration, and further burns. And these conditions also develop the dysregulation of the immune function and altered production of the various cytokines. So we think that BRX-mediated NF85 pathway may explain the immune dysfunction in these disorders. And also, targeting the BRX and NF85 in these disorders through the pharmacologic manipulation is one of the potential methods to treat the immune-related problems in these disorders.
So in disorders like uremia and in diabetes, then, hyperosmolarity develops as a consequence of the disease.
Yes.
And then eventually there's immune system dysfunction.
Yes.
And so you hypothesize that maybe then BRX is playing a role in the immune system facet of those diseases as they progress?
Yes.
Dr. Kino, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
The article we discussed was by Kino and colleagues and published in the February 10th issue of Science Signaling. It's titled, BRX Mediates the Response of Lymphocytes to Osmotic Stress Through the Activation of NFAT5. That wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, the Science Society. Our producer is Robert Frederick. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.